I'm joined by Andy Lyman for this week's update on New Mexico's political world. He's the man behind cannabis coverage over at NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com and the co-host of Growing Forward. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
So it's been a while since the last time I talked to you. Let's start off by talking about preparation made by state lawmakers ahead of two legislative sessions, one scheduled later this year, specifically for redistricting, and another next year for a regular 30-day session. So I do want to focus firstly on the redistricting part. Redistricting is very important for states like New Mexico, of course, Andy. Can you explain how simply redrawing district maps is crucial for the people of New Mexico and why lawmakers meet for a session to talk about it once every 10 years?
Yeah, so it's pretty much directly tied to the census, which of course happens every 10 years. And so every time we get our new numbers, our districts are the idea is there is that we have our political districts drawn so that it's the best representation of population. So that way you don't have, you know, a huge district that, and that's why you'll see some of these legislative districts will cross counties. And sometimes they'll include one county that is not very populated and then part of one. So Las Cruces is a good example. It's kind of split up. You know, the city and the county and Doñana County are sort of split up in interesting ways. Whereas in Albuquerque, we've got multiple districts just in the city of Albuquerque, and then some that sort of blend over to Bernalillo County. Some of them are real weird. I forget the number, but it's a Senate district in Santa Fe that stretches from southern Santa Fe all the way down through the East Mountains by Albuquerque and all the way down to Lincoln County, actually. So some of them are sort of interestingly drawn. And so that's why I think lawmakers put a lot of emphasis on this. And of course, folks in rural communities and tribal communities always, you know, want to make sure that they have their voice heard in terms of representation.
And I'm curious because I've never really thought about this question, but how did these maps actually get drawn? Who's ultimately deciding the final drafts?
I would direct everyone to a really great story from KUNM from Nash Jones. That sort of dives into what you were just talking about with the issue of who, to answer your question, who decides. The legislature makes some decisions, goes to the governor for a signature. But as Nash wrote about, the governor vetoed that redistricting proposal, and then it actually went to the court, and the court ultimately decided. That's not really normally how it goes, but it's sort of a good case study of what happens if things don't, you know, get agreed upon. And so it could get real messy. My guess is, considering that the legislature is democratically controlled, that the governor is probably there. I don't see a whole lot of issues coming through this. I don't see that the governor is going to end up vetoing something that the legislature puts forward, because they're sort of, we should assume they're on the same page.
And yeah, I recommend checking out that KUNM story by Nash Jones. It was a great piece about the redistricting special session that's coming up. And I do want to reiterate, the governor that vetoed these maps was not Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. This happened back in 2011 from then Governor Susana Martinez, just for transparency there. I do want to keep on going here to the regular session. Now, Andy, some lawmakers are making pitches to the governor to add crime and firearms legislation on the agenda for the next session. This obviously comes after a school shooting in Albuquerque where, unfortunately, a kid died and a significant homicide record in the city. And the governor traditionally sets the path lawmakers will make when it comes to these sessions. Do you think this might be a priority for her? I'm just not too sure what to make of this just yet.
I think that she will probably put some of those things on the call, as some lawmakers have sort of hinted at, that there will probably see some Democratic efforts to create laws to create penalties if you don't have a gun secured. So not to politicize the event that happened in Albuquerque at a Washington middle school, but I think that they're going to probably use that and say, look, if this family had secured their gun, maybe this wouldn't have happened. So I think that's where Democrats will probably focus a lot of their attention. But then you've got Republicans who for years have tried to push what they're calling tough on crime laws, enhancing the three strikes law that we already have. I don't know that they'll do this, but they have tried in the past to bring the death penalty back, just sort of make stricter or more harsh penalties, I guess you could say, for some of these things. I don't know that it's going to be very successful. We could see some increased penalties that the Democrats will be in favor of. Just we'll have to wait and see. I don't foresee a special session for crime bills, only because we already have to have a special session for redistricting. And then between that special session, which is supposed to happen this fall, it's only a few months before the 30-day session. So I wouldn't expect a special session to be in between there. That's a lot of work for lawmakers.
I know it's in the very early stages of planning for the session next year, but I'm wondering if you have your eye on anything. Are you going to be covering anything?
I haven't talked to any of them yet, so I don't know exactly what folks are planning on putting out there. I'll probably watch anything that comes up outside of the budget, I'll be watching closely. Of course, the main goal of the 30-day session is budgetary issues. So I'm sure there's going to be talk about cannabis legalization and revenue there, but that's going to be a tough conversation because there's not a lot to go off of. We're not going to see revenue until probably after the 30-day session.
And you do have a story coming out on a new federal lawsuit against David Scrace and the governor. What's going on there?
To sum it up, there's a woman who is suing the governor and Secretary Scrace in federal court, arguing that people that are specifically kids in programs like 4-H that take animals to show at the state fair, if they're not vaccinated by now, there's no way that they can be fully vaccinated in time for the state fair to go do these things. And so we're not talking about people just getting into the fair. We're talking about people that it's not necessarily a livelihood, but you know, it's think of it as Boy Scouts or any sort of organization that kids get into. I think most people know what 4-H is, but so it's just, I think the argument there is like, look, this is something that is good for kids and they sort of pride themselves on the animals that they've spent all year raising. And now they don't get to do that because even if they get vaccinated as of last week, they wouldn't be able to get the second shot before the state fair is over.
And that's all the time we have. Of course, we'll have a link to that story on our site at ksfar.org. And as always, you know, everything we talk here is very political. The New Mexico Political Report.com, they do a great job at covering this stuff. I recommend when the sessions hit to follow their coverage. It's very thorough and easy to understand. Thanks so much for joining me today, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. It's always great.